1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just one for the just, for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. I have for tonight's message five considerations, five observations from our text. First of all, notice the fact that Christ died. The fact of Christ's death. Peter says, Christ died, or Christ also died. Christ died. If he died, therefore, he was at one point living. He was a real man with a real human nature. Like us, he had a body, he had a soul. He possessed all the essential attributes of humanity. Body, soul. So there came a time in his life when he stopped breathing and his human soul departed his real human body. He said to his father in Luke 23:46, crying out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. At that point in time, the soul, the human soul of Christ, left the human body of Christ while on the cross. His body was absent from his soul. He died. So, at that moment, theologians have asked, what happened to his soul? Well, he told the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. Remember, Jesus died with one man on the right, one man on the left. He promised the believing one that today you'll be with me in paradise. So as Christ gives up his soul to his Father, like believers absent from the body, present with the Lord, so the Lord Jesus, his soul was in paradise with the believing thief on the cross. But the question is asked, and it should be, why did Christ die? The fact of his death is pretty clear in the Bible, secondary sources, only the most radical of skeptics, okay, deny that Jesus died or lived. It's a real small, tiny fringe of elite scholars. They get all kinds of government money. They spew out garbage, basically. But even atheists who just study secondary documents say, you know, a man named Jesus lived and a man named Jesus died. Of course, we don't believe what he said about himself, that he was the unique Son of God, and that he came to bear the load, the wrath of God for sinners, but he did live and he did die. And the question is this, then why did he die? That's my second thought here. Notice, secondly, not only the fact of Christ's death, but the reason for Christ's death. Christ also died for sins, or concerning sins. So he died because of sins. We were there and we saw him and he was agonizing and he was crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we'd watched him his whole life and we had never seen him sin. We had seen him love the unlovely and receive people that other people didn't receive and put his stamp of approval on anyone and everyone who's contrite and humble and repentant, no matter what their background was. He received them and forgave them. If we saw him all through his life, and then we looked at him on the cross with criminals and blood and people mocking and scoffing at him, we would have to ask the reason, why is he dying? What is he doing up there? Well, it says here, he died concerning, or for, sins. He was put to death because of sins. But again, if we were there looking at this, we'd be scratching our head, talking to other people. What sin did he commit? What did he do that was so wrong? Why are they scoffing him and mocking him? He loved people. Yeah, he tried to correct our rabbis and correct our teachers, and I think he was right a few times. I think they're wrong. I think they have too much authority. You know, there were probably people talking that way. What are the sins that he committed? I want to know. Well, it's not due to his own sins. It's due to sins. Capital offenses against the law and holiness of God put Christ Jesus to death. But there's a problem, okay? There's a dilemma. It says Christ died concerning sins. But the Bible also says that he was sinless. So why did he die concerning sins? Was it the sin of those who put him to death that Peter's talking about? Is Peter saying this? Christ died and it was a sin that people put him to death. I suppose somebody could read it that way. And you know it was a sin, the way they put him to death. That's not what Peter's talking about. Concerning sins, the sinless Savior dies and his death was due to sin, and yet he never sinned against God or against man. And if he died for sins, then he died under the wrath of God, and not merely due to the wrath of man. Did he die under the wrath of man? Yes. Did men hate him? Yes. Did all men hate him? No. But those in authority certainly hated him. But Peter is not talking about the sin of putting Christ to death. On the one hand, the Bible is very jealous to protect the sinless integrity of Jesus Christ. Does anyone here want to stand up and proclaim their sinless integrity? I've never transgressed the law of God. I have never stepped over the boundary markers of God's holy moral law that's good, holy, righteous, and just. Nobody in the right mind wants to do that. Jesus didn't boast of it, but certainly exemplified moral integrity. And the Bible protects that. And since he was sinless, then he could not be put to death for his own crimes. Peter is giving a theological interpretation of the death of Christ. Okay, this is a heaven down look. Why is the sinless one dying? And the answer from heaven is because there's sinners that he's dying in the place of. And our text tells us that. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. We'll look at that in our fourth point. But the third point is this, the finality of Christ's death. So the fact of Christ's death, Christ died. The reason for Christ's death, concerning sins. Okay? Whatever the purpose is in his death, we don't know yet from our text. We do know the reason for his death. It was concerning sins. We don't know the persons for whom this death for sin was given, but we do know this much. He died concerning sins. The sinless one was put to death for sins. Once for all. Now, if you've read the Old Testament, you know that this sacrifice for sin, once for all, is not in the Old Testament. The sacrifices for sin in the Old Testament were repeated over and over and over. The priests slay the bulls and the lambs, blood gushed out all over the place, and they were done repeatedly over and over and over. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats didn't actually take away sins. So the blood of bulls and goats was pointing to some other sacrifice, singular, that would actually wash away sins, deal with our guilt once and for all. And as the drum roll of Revelation increases and the cymbals begin to crash, the incarnation occurs. Christ, the Son of God, becomes man and takes on human flesh, body and soul, lives, dies, and then you think, what happened? He died. But on the third day, he rises from the dead. He's exalted into heaven. And then he gives of his own, the benefits of his own body and blood to sinners on the earth. He did that once. No need for any more sacrifices. That which pointed to the death of Christ no longer has any function. No silly notions of the sacrificial system coming back in the future according to some eschatological schemes. If you don't know what that means, forget it. One time, sacrificial system pointed to him, he came, it's done. He gets all the glory. All the blood of bulls and goats put together could not take away sin. Once for all sacrifice of Christ, it is finished, he said. So all the priests offering up all those bulls and all those goats never took away sins. It was a constant reminder that these things are yet types and symbols of something greater that is to come, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all arrows pointing to the bullseye, the target, the Lord of glory himself, Jesus. When Jesus says, "It is finished," in John's gospel, part of what he meant was that wrath had been exhausted. Jesus tasted, not only tasted, but Jesus exhausted damnation on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am thirsty. It is finished. Why was he thirsty? Some believe, and I think it's right, that because when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when damnation was brought upon him. That's when he exhausted damnation for those that he came to save. He was thirsty, just like those who were in hell. In Luke chapter 16, they were thirsty. They wanted to drink before they spoke. Well, not only do we have the fact of Christ's death, the reason for Christ's death, the finality of Christ's death, we also have the nature of Christ's death. The nature of it. The question came up, a sinless one dies. Concerning sins, because of sins, whose sins? Here it says, and it is literally a just one concerning or on behalf of unjust ones. The just for the unjust. This is a major element of the good news of the gospel. Christ died for good people like us. I used to hate watching. Who's the Crystal Cathedral guy? What's that guy's name?
Schuller.
Robert Schuller. I'm sorry. I use the word hate, I'm going to use. I hated to watch him because it was like, and you know, this smile all over his face, and he would never call people what they are. We're not all good. We're not even half good. We're not righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. Okay? We're horrible. We're worms. We're worse than worms, you know. Unjust ones. That's who Christ died for. You gotta feel that. I'm an unjust one. I'm not just. I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. I got problems. I gotta deal with this. No. But you do have problems. But here's the gospel. God dealt with it. Okay? You're not gonna clean yourself up and get a little just. I'll just get some justice in me. And then I'll present myself to God. For what? Judgment. And you're going to lose. Okay, why don't you just say, you know what? What do they call it? Cry uncle? You know, it's like you're twisting my arm. Okay, you win. Why don't you just do that and say, you know what? I'm a goner because I'm a sinner. And that's just of God to have wrath hovering over my head, suspending it only by his mercy, not executing his wrath. He holds it back. He could if he wanted. I'm a child of wrath just like everybody else is by nature or by birth. I'm unjust. But there's a just one. He died for unjust ones. He took the penalty for my sins. Why not do that? Isn't that great? There's that exchange that took place on the cross where the guilt, the liability to punishment, you know, when a judge says, boom, guilty, that means punishment, you deserve punishment. He doesn't tell you what the punishment is yet, okay? But he says, you know what, I've made my decision, you're guilty. That means you're liable to punishment. Okay? Here is the punishment that the judge commands coming upon the unjust one, upon the just one, instead of coming upon the unjust one. You see that exchange happening there? The unjust, the just one, Christ, the sinless one, takes the guilt, the liability to punishment, and the actual punishment pronounced by the ultimate judge, the Father. He takes that upon himself. A just one, the only just one, for just ones. He was holy, we are unholy. He was sinless, we are sinful. He was God's friend. We are God's enemy. But he was a friend of sinners, and he gave up his life for sinners. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sinners have a friend in Jesus. He said, well, you don't know all my sins. Okay, I don't, but he does. And he says, everybody who comes to me like this, humble, repentant, turning, needing mercy, crying out that they're foul, I'll take them. And I'll clean them up. We have, fifthly, the goal of Christ's death. We had first the fact of his death, the reason for his death, the finality of his death, the nature of his death, just one for unjust ones. Now we have the goal. So that, in verse 18. Whenever you see so that, you see the goal. Christ died, here's the goal. That he might bring us to God. In the Dominican, somebody would have said, Gloria a Dios. They say that a lot. He died so that. What's the goal? Why was he doing that? What's the fruit of that? He's going to bring unjust ones into the safe presence of God. Now listen, everybody gets to God. Okay? Everybody gets there at the end. Not everybody gets into the safe presence of Jehovah. Christ is going to bring us into the saving, safe presence of God. Listen, what the New Testament says in Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless. We're unjust. How can we be blameless in the presence of God? Christ died. Verse 18. That he might bring us to God. The implication is, somehow, some way, we are pronounced just for Jesus' sake. So that we are brought into the safe presence of God. We're going to be there someday blameless with great joy. Well, some of us know what joy is, but what in the world is great joy? To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. So that he might bring us to God, blameless, great joy, the just for the unjust. The unjust aren't always then, and therefore, in the mind of God, unjust ones. God looks at Christ, for the sake of believers, and imputes his justness, his righteousness, to those who believe. So we get credited with something we didn't do. Obedience to God's law. But notice, Peter adds something here. He says, having been put to death in the flesh, and having been made alive by the Spirit. I think what Peter is doing is this. He's telling us why Christ is qualified to present us to God. His death and his resurrection. Because of his death and resurrection, he is qualified to present unjust ones who he died once and for all for on the cross 2,000 years ago. He is qualified, he and he alone is exclusively qualified to bring sinners into the safe presence of God. It is the reward, that is the resurrection, was the reward of his obedience. He obeyed, as we're told, all the way unto death. Life, all the way unto death. The whole thing was an act of obedience to God on behalf of sinners. Not for himself, but on behalf of sinners. As a reward of that, as a reward of his obedience unto death, he gets raised from the dead. He attains a perfection of life and is rewarded for that which Adam never attained to. You remember, Adam sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Jesus was perfectly obedient. And through resurrection, entered into his glory. The Spirit of God raised the Son of God, who is now glorified and is in his exalted state. So unlike Adam the first who failed, Adam the last will not fail. He will bring many sons to glory. Christ died. He died once and for all. Finally, it was for sins. It was the just one for unjust ones. The purpose or goal, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit or by the Spirit of God, raising him from the dead. So there it is. Some thoughts on the death of Christ. These are not just like, I just didn't make these up. I read a good book this week and I shared my reading with you. It had nothing to do with truth or reality. This is the Word of God. If you're a believer here, this is what happened. God the Father sent the Son, who became incarnate, became flesh, body and soul, lived, obedient, suffered, died, suffered to the point of death, all on behalf of you, so that he might present you as a trophy of his power and grace and land you in the safe presence, clean, spotless, without blame, no blemishes, all for his glory. And he did that for you, sinner. He doesn't do it for good people, because there ain't none. He does it for sinners. And we should thank him very much for it.